Watson Hall presents.
You're go for APU shutdown on time.
You're go for deploy.
300 AD, I am.
Recommend a vector transfer to the BFS.
Roger the problem.
Well, speaking of cutting out quality, as we were, shall we play a game?
What? How dare you?
Now we've got a guy with a gun, so he can deal with it all.
Obviously, Mark, you'll just have listened to last week's episode and you'll know exactly what's going on.
Mm. But so you can give us a summary, Mark.
Care to remind the rest of us?
We did sort of need your character, really.
We could have done with it. So we found a funny signal. I'm trying to remember how it started now, but there was a signal coming from the planet's surface, and there was an unusual albedo kind of reflection. It wasn't an inhabited planet. It's got a thin atmosphere.
Not albedo in the sense of like a furry comic.
It reflected in a funny way. Yeah. And it was quite a small thing.
Oh, we're still in that cluster.
Still fucking talking about. yes.
What's
still on this fucking ship.
No, are we still on the cluster where we think it's an it's been artificially created?
No. The last thing we did was the Russian expedition before, several months ago, where they all died together.
Mm.
It was very sad. So this one, we went down to the surface of the planet. It's not inhabited. There's no life at all, as far as we can tell. And we found Wally, basically a large 3 meter long mechanical, rover. Basically, not designed for human. It was buried in, well, quite a big Wally. But he was buried side down in the dust. And, we've also found like a hexagonal, structure, which is probably it's like relay satellite or it's relay that goes up to a satellite, which doesn't seem to be there, or whether it was the satellite and has crash landed.
That occurred to me over the past week is that the robot thing might in fact be somebody's miniature, obviously somebody of greater scale, and that hex thing is just the stand for when he's been painted in your display.
Oh, that's right. The rover was attached to the hexagon, as far as we can tell, and then it landed, they detached. But it's got some sensor equipment in it, we think. We can't get in the rover because it's not like a thing you can get in and drive. It's an automated robot thing. I think it's about as far as we got. We realised that it was...
You did actually get it upright.
Yes, we dug it out. We got it upright. We realised it transmitted to the hexagon, and that transmitted out into orbit, but it doesn't seem to be transmitting to anything.
The hexagon appears to be completely dead.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. The hexagon's dead. So the thing's trying to communicate with it.
We hypothesised that it might have been intended to boost signals to orbit, but there doesn't seem to be anything orbiting.
And it does seem to be about 100 years old.
Yeah,
a sort of estimate based on life expectancy of radioisotopes and things for its power source. We couldn't dig out the hexagon, or hadn't at that stage.
We hadn't. We dug out the rover.
Because we needed a big bloke in power armour, really.
Yeah.
And then we got one.
Well, we needed one earlier as well, just to go out and blow things up.
It would be a fairly major task to excavate it, which doesn't mean it's not worth doing, but it's definitely going to be a task.
I have got grenades.
Right.
Bad.
Could might be a major task to put it back together.
I think spontaneously in front of you appears a copy of the Archaeologist's Handbook, open by section on excavating with dynamite.
Yeah, was this?
It's not
this
completely
one written by the guy looking for Troy, or the one written after his ex? Because it's going to have a different leaning, I think, depending where.
Ah, fucker.
Now, to be fair, if we embedded some explosives significantly below the disc, possibly it would destroy.
Can I ask you not to entertain one of
significantly below the disc? Why don't we just dig out the disc?
I think we should dig out. Yeah, that's actually a very good point. If you are going to all the trouble of tunnelling under it, I mean, why not put in a jack or something?
Yeah. So I guess what we're wondering, this seems to be a kind of surface probe to explore this planet, but we don't know who sent it. There doesn't seem to be anyone else in this system, any civilization, within the last 100 years, as far as we can tell.
Yeah,
and we were debating really what stage we're at in terms of, do we have any kind of, should we actually get this thing back and running best as we can? We've done that with the rover. Should we dig out this thing, or should we just leave it because we don't really know?
Yeah, we don't know quite
where it's from or what it's doing, or if it's likely to be hostile. We just don't know.
Could it be? I mean, we're assuming it. Well, I was assuming. I do apologize that it was some a tool of some organic life form. It could be entirely machine life form, and this is what it is. Yeah.
It could be an offshoot of that. Those ones that basically wanted to have sex with the doc with the professor.
At least that's the way he tells it.
He always tells it like that.
Yeah, well, I was offered
with the espresso machine and had to come up with something on the fly, so to speak. And that was his claim.
If there's one thing I've learned about an espresso machine, it's don't stick your dick in it.
Be careful what you do with that steam wand.
Now, as far as I can see, none of you has actually learned science paleontology, at least not according to the sheets I have.
Sadly not. I've got
too useful.
I'm more
he's not that sort of doctor.
No, he is that sort of doctor.
I'm astronomy rather than planetology.
Yeah, so sadly what I could actually tell you is entirely based on planetology. So
that will default.
Is anybody
on
the ship?
Science,
is anyone on the ship got that skill?
Yeah, oh no, if only there were.
So, Mason and Jethro, you're at -2. Felix, you're at -1. Horace, you're at +0. Plus Edu for this.
Mm-hmm.
Edu. Oh, brilliant.
7 plus my Edu. 9 for me.
Also 9.
11 for me.
Okay. 6.
Sorry, it's -2, he said. Right, so, not 11, 9 for me.
Okay, we're all 9 buddies.
So several of you can work out what's been going on here now that you've got a better view of the situation. And, the hexagon is partly buried in a crater. Or by stuff that, well, it's part of the way up the side of a crater, probably.
Oh, okay.
Sticking out of the rim of the crater.
It's not the crater for where it crashed.
No, it's a secondary crater, as I understand it.
But there's a crater in this crater, isn't there? Yeah.
But the material that was displaced to make the crater is what's basically burying it. And it looks as though some of that may be what knocked over the rover as well.
So this crater landed after they landed then?
Looking at the crater,
as far as we can tell,
does it look like it's a natural crater or something a munition would have done?
Well, it's no more radioactive than the rest of the planet.
I mean, at a certain scale, what is the difference between a meteorite and ammunition?
let's have a look at the base of this crater and find any, can we scan it? Can we see if there's any sign of, obvious, chunks of iron or anything else that might...
Yeah, this material that's been... Is that just part of the ground that's been blasted up, or is there anything in it?
Okay, going to take a bit of time, but that's fine.
I have got my spectroscope, my portable spectroscope.
Yep, so yeah, probably in fact the easiest approach will be to take some core samples and then just run those through to see if there's anything interesting in them.
Widdly. Use your machine widdly that goes widdly-woo.
And beep, or possibly ping.
And we're going to live.
Yeah, so yes, there does appear to be something of slightly different composition. Quite deeply buried at the bottom of the crater, obviously.
Ah, okay.
It throws stuff out and then some of it slumps back in.
Denser or less dense? Can we get that?
Denser.
Okay. Probably some mineral then. This stuff is effectively some kind of space
well,
sand.
Well, depends.
Is it?
I mean, if something's landed here, well, I use the word land a little bit.
not like one of Felix's lands. Though Felix did not do the best landing on the way down, to be fair.
I skimmed the surface.
I think it was a very positive landing, Felix. We were all very impressed, and the repairs will not take as long as we thought.
I've finished them already.
Yeah, well, there we go.
You see?
From what we observed previously, is this a
the
planet
textbook
that has
is
a
how to repair your spaceship.
Does it have a lot of craters? Obviously, there's no atmosphere.
A fair few.
Or very limited. Yeah.
Okay, God, I hope so they're not all bloody robots.
I think there is an atmosphere. It's quite a thin atmosphere, but we decided to fully vac suit up anyway, knowing what the writers of this campaign are like.
So it doesn't feel like this. The fact that there's a crater here is pointed necessarily.
No, they're definitely the others. So 0.4 gravity, quite a thin atmosphere.
Yeah, and we decided to live, so we're still suited up.
The combination of that means a lot of extremely fine dust. So one of the many things that could happen to you, though the writer of the adventure hasn't chosen to mention it, is long-term silicosis.
Well, not to us, because we're wearing vaccines.
I presume
that would be a hell of a climax, wouldn't it? You die 30 years later.
Epilogue at the funeral of the entire group, yeah.
And here is a casting of his lungs. In fact, this is what came out of the crematorium. So,
well, do we need to dig this up, or should we just dig up the hexagon? Does it matter?
Or should we, in fact, do neither?
Or just leave it?
You have dug out the rover. You definitely did that last time.
We are on a scientific mission.
The rover, because it's running away on an expanding spiral, you said.
Mm. Yeah.
If we're not curious, what are we?
So we have
homicidal, I think.
These things as closely as possible. We've got photos of things. We've taken broken off samples from this.
But if we could get this thing working, we may be able to discover there may be some data on it.
Well, exactly my point I was going to raise. We don't know where this is from. Further investigation might give us some clues in that direction, and that could potentially be an important point. Because we don't know where it's come from. I don't think there's actually much other than pure science apart from that argument, though, is there, that says we should carry on with it. It's not a massively compelling argument to expend our resources.
You're suggesting that pure science is not a compelling argument in any situation.
To blave.
So, I'm trying to remember. So, I know we've achieved various small samples of things.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember what...
We didn't get that sex bot, did we?
We didn't get a sex bot. I'm trying to remember what actual alien things we have.
We had the opportunity of getting our whole alien mechanical consciousness thing on board, but knew there was all this thing about security and two-factor authorization, and, you know, it'll just want to have sex with everybody. And that one, I think, was suggested by Reddish.
How many holes is it going to have anyway? And, yeah.
Well, we couldn't all have a go at once, but presumably... hello? I think it doesn't matter how many samples we got before, Felix. There are more samples to get. This is the whole point of our mission.
This is purely for my information. I don't think we've got any complete examples of alien technology.
I don't know that we should steal the whole thing, though. There may be someone looking
for it. Well, we're not talking about stealing it, are we?
Well, I don't know. Were you thinking of taking the rover?
No, the rover is clearly functional and trying to perform its original mission.
Well, go around, as it around doesn't, in circles.
Spirals, yeah. As it doesn't seem to be hostile immediately that we're aware of, should we interfere with it? You know, I don't think that's something we ought to be doing.
Well, it's clearly broken.
I mean, what about the Prime Directive?
Sorry, you're thinking of a different mission.
I don't know. I've heard of Star Trek, but I've never really watched it.
The first 10 series are really they're only finding their feet. It's only after that.
Ah, fair enough.
And obviously that's after they restarted production after the civilization
nuclear war.
Which
in a way is the story of Star Trek itself.
Hang on a minute. If I have the timing right, the nuclear war happened before Next Gen.
Oh, thank God.
Okay.
That's an unpopular opinion. I mean, I like Kirk as much as the next man. Unless the next man is Leonard Nimoy, or or someone like that.
It does take quite a while to get going, Next Generation.
The first series, the slow motion.
Wait, everyone, my digression alert is going off.
There is a card in Star Munchkin called Grow the Beard.
Isn't that Benjamin Sisko? Sorry, digression monitor is getting really quiet.
No, we're talking about Frakes.
Yeah.
Riker. You're so stolid. You weren't like this before the beard.
Riker. That was cute. John Delancey, these are nice.
At some point, I need to go back through my notes and make a note of what samples we've got of things.
Right.
Well, I suggest, are you thinking something else? What harm can we do just digging this hexagon out? I will remind you that we only...
What harm can we do taking Kong back to New York? What harm can we do by juggling with the demon core? What harm can we do...
Yeah, you know, this is 1984, first edition.
Well, this is much more of a Pandora's box situation, I think.
The rover is has an extruded drill and is taking a rock sample.
Mm-hmm. As we suspected. So it may have a data core in it. It may be something. It doesn't. Well, you probably wouldn't load it up with a load of data. You would just get it to transmit back to wherever you were, generally.
So you're suggesting that if you were sending out some sort of probe, you wouldn't, for example, put a gold-plated record on there with diagrams and instructions of how to go and invade the people who sent it.
Well,
thank you,
this
Carl
is...
Sagan. We appreciate the nod.
I think this is more of a exploring a planet kind of rover rather than a interstellar probe.
Yeah, the bit that Carl Sagan didn't tell anybody is the bit where it says definitely no defences along this lane, which is where all the mines are.
I would like to suggest Carl Sagan might not have had such an idea.
I mean, it's possible that this thing has some kind of storage drive, and so that the rover can beam out information. It's kept securely in the hexagon. If anything happens to the rover, there's still a functional copy of the data for a tree or...
Yes, but it's unlikely to have an encyclopedia of the civilization it came from.
It could still have information on it that we could get that would show, for example, was it dropped from a then orbiting satellite.
Well, it may have telemetry or something on it, yes.
We just don't know. Yeah.
Did the programmers purge unnecessary files from
data
before they copied it?
There's a lot to be learned from a computer program written by another civilization, to be honest. I mean, even Earth computer programmers are something of a different species.
Right, so if we want to get into this thing, and try and work out, you know, what its computer system that is, should I fetch the MacBook?
So, what have you got access to?
Still angry about that.
Most of the upper surface, which is this hexagon, on three of the sides, you've basically got random rock and dust and crap, more or less up to that level. On the other sides, you can see more what you might call structure.
The side that's underneath, the underside.
It appears to be hexagonal with vertical sides.
I think what we really need to try and get this thing out is a giant vacuum cleaner. And I'm not being facetious. I mean, we need suck through a big hose.
Or a leaf blower.
Or, no, because that'll just blow it around where we are. And it's got lower gravity and very fine dust. And I'm just thinking of vehicles. And it'll just sort of blast it off,
fine dust, so basically we need... So we need
digging
something like
is
a heap, like a heap round or something.
One thing that Mason would be aware of, the atmospheric pressure here is so low that it's not actually that different from vacuum in the first place.
Okay, and there's no weather system here, which means it's probably more like lunar regolith, which is basically lots of tiny little spikes.
I don't know how long our suits are going to last in this sort of thing.
Okay. Controversial suggestion. If we fastened a line to this thing, secured it firmly to it, and then
took
off.
That's quite a lot of energy we're applying to this thing.
And there's nowhere we could, tie something to it. We can't get all the way around it to strap it around.
But so you'd be talking more to access the internals. So that's
you're
what
thinking,
I'm thinking. We might be able to get a hook into it. I mean, or simply
just like
pull
rip
it
the
sideways
lid off
and see if we can. No, I'm thinking, can we dislodge? Can we slide it?
You've already got your winch here.
Yeah, because if instead of digging up and disturbing all that dust, we could slide it out.
Well, I'm not sure a spaceship's designed for such fine detail.
We've got the lander, haven't we?
I mean, there's a group of people. We could pull it with a rope.
That seems more make more sense. Yes,
we probably flown across to here.
No, we walked.
Yeah.
So we're quite close, but we're
we've parked the bay and
just over the rim of the larger crater.
Okay, fair enough.
Not the bay and our little landing.
And you would have had to get Entdecker has landed, so you could get things like the winch unshipped.
Okay, so Entdecker's there. All right. Well, we can just get some.
Instead of digging, blowing the dust away from the scene. You know, or sucking it from the scene and blowing out a tube, quite a way away.
Yeah.
Might solve a bit of a problem because we're going to be kicking up.
Well, let's see what we're left with after we do that. We must have some equipment for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that's a pretty good idea. So, what's the name of the shuttle pilot again?
I
thought she got a boyfriend. Didn't we go through this? And is this even an appropriate time?
Counselling will stay completely...
After a certain former Marine started spending his time with a computer officer instead.
Yvonne.
Yeah.
Yvonne.
So I think... I'll check in a sec.
Not every solution needs... Yvonne.
Well, no, but my thought is that if
we know what your thoughts are.
If you want to get rid of it really, really quickly, basically just get her to suspend. Yeah,
VTOL.
Yeah, but we don't want to damage it.
No,
let's just use a space vacuum or something. We must have something like that.
We could rig something that up very simply.
It's called a space... It's called put the shuttle, have the jets basically aiming
something
down.
Using a bit less energy than that.
The problem is what you've got on the on the lander is essentially a chemical rocket.
Yeah. You say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, it's not a bad thing in the right circumstances.
Didn't they have like a vacuum cleaner on Apollo? They had something like that, didn't they? Absolutely.
It would be very straightforward with our facilities to make even a low-powered vacuum.
I'm not sucking on that tube again. That's what you mean.
Sorry, after we had to siphon the uranium out of that reactor.
No, you do.
Sorry about
this,
that.
This is not just a rocket. This is actually an air-breathing thruster on both Entdecker and on the lander.
Cool.
So that suggests that, yeah, and that, I think that was one of the things that got bent in the landing was the thrust vector exhausts.
Would sucking in a load of space sand be great for the engine?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Well, maybe not do that.
If you were to take a load of frozen chickens and lob them into active jet engines, similar sort of idea, I think.
Oh, what is that? There's a technical name for that. Splange or something, it's called.
At the very least, you could probably do something with the bleed air feeds and get some sort of high pressure air.
Let's do that. We just need like a pressure washer, don't we?
It's also occurred to me, from cleaning, what if we sprinkled some water on this dust?
Use it like a pressure washer.
It will boil.
Snarge is the technical name for a liquidized bird that has passed through a jet engine. Mm. Anyway,
we don't have any of that. We didn't bring it.
And can I just say?
Yes, but the important element is what is the molecular mass, because it changes your thrust to weight ratio. Yeah.
It isn't snarge. That's if it's frozen. What?
Is the
oh, is it not?
Splink? No.
Is there something we could do to bind blades everywhere? Is there something we could do to try and bind some of this dust into larger particles?
Glue.
Vacuum glue.
Space glue.
We've got substance. I mean, it's only for... We still want to be able to blow it away, but hopefully it won't be low.
Well, what's wrong with the vacuum idea where we suck it up? Have we not got some kind of vacuum we can use?
We've got several vacuums.
The difficulty
pressure is so low.
Ambient pressure is...
Oh, I see what you mean. Mm. Okay, so yeah, it'd be very, very slow. Very slow.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm all for blowing.
Well, I can rig up an air hose using the feed leader.
I'm afraid there's a hosepipe dam on this planet.
Curses.
I'm joking. There was some of humour, Felix, if you remember my workshop on that. So, yes, let's rig up an air hose. Mason's laughing already. No. Didn't come to the workshop, though, was there?
No. He's just smiling because I owe him money, because basically it was in the first half hour.
Remember, don't you all remember the community joke we made around the table? I mean, nobody laughed, but there was a lot of warmth at that table.
Okay, so Mason's already on double or quits.
But I did fix the life support after that.
There we go. See, Felix learned something from coming. Yeah. Right. Okay, yeah, well...
So, air hosing. I am assembling an air hose.
Yeah, mechanic.
Mechanic. That's at least an 8.
Okay, yeah, that'll be fine. You can blast the dust away a bit. And basically, once you blast it away from the hexagon, it hangs in the air.
Yeah.
But you could then provide some more air jet to try to move it away a bit so it doesn't just settle back down.
Yeah.
10 minutes later.
That's the general scheme. And maybe we're, you know, trying to slide some sheets around this thing, something similar, so we can try and encapsulate it, get it into position.
Well, if the atmosphere is that thin and low gravity, it's not going to collapse down onto the thing.
Not everything that is holding it in place is dust. I mean, there is some rock that was maybe molten at the time.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Oh, but right. If we're down to that,
That's something we're going to have to sort of actually excavate, drill away.
Well, let's see what we can
do. You have got much more access, and you basically, the whole thing is perhaps, let's see, what have you got left? Maybe half a metre thick overall, and you have got a lower surface with something like landing feet, or at least one landing foot you managed to expose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can we... Like ultrasound, is this a solid thing of electronics, or are there what kind of internal structure can we make?
Yeah, that's a fair thing to do. There is a little bit of space inside, but it is the vast majority of it is hardware of some sort.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's completely dead, everything we've uncovered. There's no
sign of power. Also, okay. Even on the side, you can see the structure has definitely been compromised. Yeah. You can see the shape of that the outer casing used to be, but there are holes in it. Bits of it have been torn off.
Right. Yeah.
The molten rock probably wasn't doing any favours.
I hadn't really considered molten rock, to be honest.
No, that's fair.
Well, neither did anybody else, because it hadn't been molten until, half a second beforehand. So,
Is it wedged in? Are we going to have to dig it right out?
It is pretty much wedged in, but you definitely have an access path to get at the electronics in the interior, if you want to.
Well, let's try that, because it sounds like it's probably not repairable, given that we don't know anything about how it works in the first place.
Or what it's supposed to do, we are just guessing that.
Yeah,
also
documenting...
Now that you've got the drones and the drone operator back. Mm.
Why are you suggesting nothing's repairable with him around?
No, I'm suggesting that the drones are a lot smaller than you.
Oh, okay, all right.
Send in Ant-Man, is that the idea?
Send in the drones.
So, with a bit of that, let's see, what have you got? Right. A bit of looking at the structure of the thing. There was... Yeah, the power supply section is gone.
Mm.
They're a bit... There are edges of it that suggest it was radiation shielded, but whatever was shielded is now not there.
Wasn't shielded against whatever hit it then.
Looking at the shielding, is the shielding buckling in or out?
Basically, this corner of the vehicle has been scoured away, and what you have got left is the radiation shielding that was part of that structure.
Mm.
Had we said last time, it wasn't
a big bang then?
Had we said last time about the rover, whether we were going to be trying to record any sort of radio waves?
I think I was recording anything we heard from it.
As you record anything you can.
Yeah. We did do that. We've got samples.
Okay.
Data storage is cheap. What it's been sending out is...
Oh, what an implausible future.
Except in our counselling sessions, gentlemen, they are completely...
Since the civilization destroying war happened before the AI boom.
Of course.
You know, it's not often you wish for a civilization destroying war, is it?
Every day these days.
So,
if they don't hurry up, there won't be a civilization left to destroy.
So what you had was it was basically sending small but not tiny packet of a few hundred mm-hmm. bytes, mm-hmm. and part of that was changing each time. So you assumed it was some sort of clock or serial number.
It's basically saying, Jeff, are you all right, Jeff? Jeff, you haven't said anything for a long time.
It's me, Barbara. Jeff. What's wrong?
The Matador.
You're not still angry about last night, are you? Didn't mean anything.
Wow.
So what else have you got? In the hexagon, it's... Okay, physics will tell you that is a radio, that is. In fact, it's two radios, one relatively short-ranged, one rather longer.
So it's a relay, as we thought, or some kind of... some sort of relay.
Basically, the antenna for the bigger radio is embedded in the upper ceramic surface.
Okay.
Seven. Fairly high frequency, but it ought to get through this... Certainly ought to get through this atmosphere and many others.
Okay. So it doesn't... this is a funny question. Does it appear to be custom designed for this planet, or does it seem to be more of a general purpose thing, or is that just not something I can tell?
I think I would need a more specific question.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, I'll think of one by next week.
It is not a radio that could only just penetrate this atmosphere. It would have a lot of capacity left over. So if you were building something for this planet, you'd probably use a smaller one.
Okay, well, that sort of answers the question, that it may have been a more general probe.
So what you've got these radios, you've got what used to be the power supply, and you've got, clearly quite a lot of... It's quite similar, and it's fairly homogeneous apart from that, and its components of some sort... You start to have to hypothesize a lot, but it basically has a bit of power and a lot of data connection, and that suggests that maybe it might be data storage.
Okay, so we probably want to recover this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Does it look like we could?
It would be a major undertaking, days, weeks, maybe.
Okay, that's probably not worth it.
If we were to cut it up into bits,
just
for larks.
Okay, if we cut a human brain into bits, do you think we could piece its memories back together?
I don't know.
Has anyone tried?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, all I can say to that is scramble, pattern, pipeline, yellow.
I'm gone. I mean, we'd have to, if we did that, we'd have to be full archaeology, fully documenting it, cutting it up, working out exactly where. In which case, it would probably be quicker just to recover the bloody thing.
One thing you might want to bear in mind with this is that, in theory, you should not need to make any major over 7.7 light year transitions between here and Earth. It may be necessary. The mapping isn't perfect, but in theory you shouldn't need to, and therefore potentially this could be open to a follow-up mission. Though you're still a fair way from Earth, to be fair.
Yeah,
but if it's going to be such a huge undertaking, okay, it'd be relatively trivial by the sounds of it, though, to pinch the rover.
It's a bit big, but it would probably fit in Orlando's cargo bay if it cooperated at least.
And we're like gravity with no atmosphere. So, yeah, we can just lift it with carry on.
Well, we could lobotomise the rover, couldn't we?
I'm not sure the benefit is, though.
No,
Stubby!
I'm just wondering...
When Howard Carter found Tutankhamun's tomb, did he say, what is the benefit? No, he plundered the place and took it all back to London. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
He opened it, peeked in, and said, "Ka-ching!"
And then sold about half of it secretly. Yeah.
Yes, you don't hear that rubbing of the hands with wonderful things as often.
So,
well, he didn't personally invent the whole new pigment.
We're going to need a bigger cargo container.
So, because with this robot, it seems to be only sending quite small amounts of data at a time.
Yes.
So it's presumably got some data about the planet.
Well, it's following some kind of order. Even now, it's following its pre-recorded program.
It seems like studying it, leaving it in place and having a follow-up mission, studying it alongside trying to access this data will be far more valuable.
Yes.
Taking it with us out of its context.
But I can't imagine anybody wanting to send a follow-up mission purely for this. It's an awfully long way to come, just to check up how Wally's doing after being alone for a while.
But it is alien, isn't it?
I suppose an interesting thing, we could set up some recording devices here to see what it does. We may learn a lot about the civilization by how this probe is how the rover's programmed. It may tell us a lot about their assumptions.
So I mean, we can all probe the probe, Professor.
Well, failing that, I mean, the other thing we do is take the rover and dismantle it. But I suspect we're not going to learn a ton compared to
As I say, I think ethically we've got the issue of this is an apparently peaceful mission by an alien. Do we have any right to be interfering?
Well, this is a dead civilization. They haven't been here for 100 years. They're clearly
they've abandoned it. That's it, isn't it? You
know? Yeah, well...
We don't know how long it took to get here. This might be a really long-term thing for them.
The likelihood is there are dozens of these scattered across worlds all over this area. Cosmic
so if I
semen,
said I'm just
going like.
If I'm just going to shoot a person and you thought about it, you'd think, well, there must be dozens of people, so that's all right.
I'm just going to eat these few hundred passenger pigeons that are right here.
There's bound to be loads more. I mean, these are clearly tools. They're equipment. They're probes. They're not. There's no ethics involved.
But studying them, fully functioning.
Morons. Yes.
Carnies.
We've got a fully functioning, possibly.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
Tool. It seems.
Well, it's not of human origin.
Take it out
is
of
it, Felix?
Context.
It's just got wheels and uses radio waves. It's incredibly dull, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, but
it's not riding around an anti-gravity technology, or
have you met scientists?
Dull? What do you mean dull? This is a whole new...
Did you want a big truck when you were a kid? Is that what it's about?
My friend had a big truck.
Most disappointing toy in the world?
Well, it was...
ROM as well?
No, I stayed there for a couple of hours. It was really impressive when I went around to visit his house. I was already bored with it. No, he didn't have the trailer. I was already a bit bored with it.
Like a computer without a modem.
I think probably Felix has. I think there's more to be learned by studying how it behaves than dismantling it. We understand the basic principles of how it works.
What you're trying to say is leave a probe in orbit. With a camera pointing down and recording any radio transmissions, and we'll bugger off.
We have to be aware that anything we leave here may be recovered by this.
So we want to make sure we got a name on it.
Well, it's possible we could leave a satellite here. They could still come and recover the thing.
We're about to have the spaceship repaired by Team Human, aren't we?
Okay, have we got any... Like, speaking of the spaceship repair bike, that was quite clearly technology far in advance of ours. which reminds me of the Red Dwarf line, which is like, so has the Albanian state washing machine company. this thing is... This is tech we could, in theory, make? Or is this beyond us?
Well, this...
What, to make a planetary rover?
It's not the exact way you would make it, but there is nothing here that is obviously we don't understand how this works.
Yeah,
and I'm going to guess that for the, at least for the rover, and maybe not so much for the Hex, but for the rover, we probably could have made it about 150 years ago.
Yes, okay, and probably smaller and more efficient. That's what I'm asking, really. Is it... are there efficiencies that we would expect at our tech level, or are they lower than ours or higher?
I haven't taken it apart really to say, but it doesn't look wildly different from the sort of thing a human might make, modulo, the completely different design aesthetic.
Yeah, it's managing with one wheel missing. It's obviously got redundancy and robustness. It's got a power source that can keep going for a century or more. It's designed to do a job, and, you know, it's designed in a way that I think we would roughly come up with the same thing.
Yeah, okay. So we're not dealing with
a huge threat to humanity.
So,
it's the early stages. You know,
I guess my worry
it's very
was...
very much a scouting mission.
Anything we leave here could lead them back to Earth, which is directive, it's don't do that.
We've left loads of bloody probes all over the place.
We've been... What?
And
we've been very careful about not leading anyone back to Earth.
To leave a satellite that is programmed that unless it gets the right response, it destructs, then we could probably do that.
Should we leave a berserker? That would be great. That would be... Oh, I've read so many stories about those. I just want to see what happened afterwards.
Try playing the board game.
Would that make me sad?
It would give you an interesting view of Berserker, particularly in hand-to-hand combat with the human.
No,
I think it's like there are 18 Berserkers inside each ship. The ship is the size of Earth or thereabouts, and each one of those Berserkers has about the same chance in hand-to-hand combat as a normal human.
No.
It's not known as a balanced game, shall we say.
I'm sorry, this is reminding me of a Star Trek fan comic I read many years ago. The Kobayashi Maru scenario. Here is the enemy.
The unwinnable scenario.
What are we going to do about it? Well, that ship has a crew of about 20. We have a crew of 400. Human wave attack!
Okay. Let's leave a probe in orbit and leave some sensors down below to record what's happening. We won't leave anything transmitting because we don't want to leave any breadcrumbs.
Well, what would be the point of it transmitting anyway?
We could send it back to Earth, but
but it would take forever.
7 years. Is that no? How far are we from Earth?
100 and something like that is, I think.
All right, okay, yeah, fair enough.
In fact, we could be setting up exactly the same situation that the people who sent this bloody probe set up. We'll get the message back enough. They'll be on the way back home and saying, right, so we'll be getting that information back in about, it's probably going to be 18 months? Sorry. How far away are we again?
This robot carries a message which is part of a system of messages.
All right.
If you examine all of the dust, it turns out all of the dust is very, very old probes, ground down. And at the center was simply one probe.
The whole planet is one probe. Oh,
We've
I like
been
that.
Sending them out
That's
for
very
hitchhiking. We don't
you
know what happens
that.
To them.
I offer you this idea.
Okay, I think our plan is basically to leave some recording devices and leave things as they are.
Life, yeah.
Fair enough. And nothing interferes with this process.
Mm-hmm. Except
well
having to
done, everyone.
The way of the rover.
I would have liked to have known what was at the bottom of the crater, though.
Well, you got some spectroscopy on that. A meteorite.
Is it okay? Fair enough.
A lot of glass, you would imagine, really.
No power source there.
No sign of it.
No,
not everything is. It still could be a mass driver cannon.
Yeah, okay. We ship a load of postdocs out here. They can set up a mission. It'll keep them happily entertained for years.
They can call it the Radish Mission. Hello?
Gosh.
There's a lot of times tonight where my microphone seems to cut out and no one reacts to
it. Tragically, it's not noticeable from this side.
Well, I shall crack open a beer on the trip home.
Mm-hmm. Right, thanks.
Should have kept it humble.
Yeah, I honestly can't see that we benefit from going all out trying to retrieve this. Now, there may be something we don't know, but really, I'm just not seeing it.
I'm happy to shoot it if you want me to, but
that's not the solution to everything.
It's one of those. You know, if
not everything is a kneecap, is perhaps how I would put it. To
if we didn't have any time constraints at all, it might be worth
it.
But even
it, yeah.
then, having a dedicated mission examining it in context seems more likely, like archaeology. You know, seems more likely to get the most out of this find rather than us, you know, digging it out, you know, taking it away from any extra information that we might lose in the process.
I'm now picturing Carl's Book of Philosophy. 1,000 kneecaps may be shattered in one night by a running man.
It's quite 1,000 kneecaps is quite a good title for an autobiography.
It sounds a little bit like a sort of Hong Kong action movie, though, doesn't it? Oh, no, that would be like 10,000 kneecaps.
Yeah,
1,000 kneecaps is just not category 3 enough.
Yeah. 10,000 kneecaps on a stilt.
Yeah, the thing is, now I've said it's called 10,000 kneecaps, I can only think when all you need is a knife.
one bingo. Oh, yeah. 10 million kneecaps is what you want.
10 million kneecaps.
Because Tianwan, like 1,000, 10,000s, is a frequent phrase. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's a bit Carl Sagan, although apparently he never said billions and billions.
Billions and billions.
Yeah, apparently he never said it, although he does reference it, but after the point where people kept saying that he'd said it. And I don't know if they'd already designated 4 billion as one Sagan by that point, because it's the lowest number that can be billions and billions. Doesn't seem to have dropped into popular usage either, I've noticed, which is a shame.
It is. It is. I do love the fact that basically there was all this mad stuff about him when he, while he was alive, and he loved every minute of it. He was a cool dude.
Well, that's actually, I'm reading some Sagan at the moment, and it's hard going for me due to the old brain damage. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating stuff.
I mean,
for some reason, I put him in a similar category. Now, you may not spot this immediately, with Mr. Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
I know.
Amazing communicator, sort of putting over an extremely reasonable viewpoint.
Yes.
And encouraging education and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Apparently, he was a very nice man as well.
Yes, he was one of those people who, you know, behind the scenes, it turns out he was actually a very nice person. Yeah, so many people have sort of, after he died, came forward with stories about having met him when there was he wasn't being him. There was no reason for him to actually sort of be Mr. Rogers. He wasn't doing it for the cameras or anything, but he was just so generous and helpful to them.
Mm.
And he was never preachy despite being a pastor.
Mm.
Must have been a drawback on a Sunday, but you know.
I've met quite a lot. Professor, my aunt, who's a retired minister, amongst other things, and only quite a small proportion in daily life are like that. The ones that are really hit your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in the office now. Could you just, you know, turn it off?
But a very high proportion of them are surprising. Normal is the wrong word.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, sort of odd in a way
weird within acceptable parameters.
Exactly.
I mean, certain choices in their life that are very, very obvious by that point mean they're not normal.
But who, you know, stone casting first, etc.
I think we're on slightly shaky ground.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm making
no claims to be normal. Part of the problem with people who stand by sort of, you know, religious things and make a big deal about it in public is because very often they're talking about theirs is the normality. That's what everybody should be like. And No. You're just bunch of weirdos trying to preach to another bunch of weirdos. You've got just the wrong view of it all.
There's just something about anyone who is attempting to impose an idea of normal is very suspect.
Anybody who's attempting to impose anything is pretty suspect.
Yes, true.
I feel that all using the same system of units is a good starting point.
Okay, there are certain...
I'm willing to support...
I like Fahrenheit.
I just want to point out this is the last ever glass of the Pangalactic Hazy Blazer.
But you'll be able to replicate it perfectly, surely.
I have done a brewer's diary, so yes, I think I can.
Oh, okay.
Compared to the first one?
It's more my taste. It's a bit lighter. It's a bit more turbid. But it doesn't quite zing like a commercial hazy Nipah that I like. So probably the original, the Alchemix, was more successful light summer ale production.
I could have drunk that until I was sick.
I'm glad you didn't.
A recommendation.
that was all right. That was slightly higher.
Because everyone else turned around and told me not to.
Well, I mean, good job on getting through it, because you were quite concerned about the amount you had left. At one point.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I've put some effort in, and I've had a liver blood test recently, so all is well. It's been good. Anyway, enough about my functioning alcohol.
Enough about the horse urine. Let's carry on with the
thing. So, we...
Always a good sign when they come back and say your horse is pregnant. Yeah. So, yeah, about another week of travel and dropping into a G7 system. And, yeah, interesting thing here is you've got quite a lot of outer planets, a dense asteroid belt with, because of all the gas giants, it's all knotted up and it's concentrated into lobes and things. And because of the way where the planets happen to be as you arrive, quite a lot of them are in the same general slice of the system's orbital space. So, obviously, probes go in.
That's what they do, yeah.
Bayern is studying the outer system while the probes cross the asteroid belt and go further in. Your standard baked rock ball, frozen methane and ammonia, that kind of thing. The outermost of the inner system world, so just in from the asteroid belt, shows water, oxygen, carbon dioxide, nitrogen. Not just breathable, but there is actual life there, or there has been recently.
A garden world. Is this the first one we've come across?
No, but they're rare. The probe obviously closes in. The pictures are looking, blue, white clouds, stuff like that. All looks very promising.
I'm suspicious.
Quite a lot of carbon and strontium and americium and plutonium decay characteristics.
Okay.
Oh, they've had nuke.
Severe ozone depletion.
Is there a melted Statue of Liberty?
Something happened and this is Earth?
There is plant life, but a lot.
Damn you, Walter Hill!
A lot of the surface is just barren, wind-blown rock. Also, there are craters.
Hang on, isn't this what Earth looks like right now?
Earth has had darn time. You all to heck.
Earth has had time to recover. Obviously, you could work out there have been nuclear detonations involved. Let's not take it wrong. Yeah. Could I have a chemistry, physical, planetology with Intel-Red you?
Hello. Did someone order a radish? I will give
you the disappointing restaurant ever. Did someone order a radish?
I'm going to use chemistry because it's my least used of my identical skill set. And that will be, what am I, plus four? 13.
Okay, right. Well, definitely nuclear grounded air bursts. Between, you would say, 80 and 100 years ago.
That means there's probably still survivors down there.
Mixed in the large nuclear events, there are craters that are more like impact craters, but of the same sort of age.
Oh, so there was some kind of artillery? Any sign of satellites around this
that
planet?
That was my immediate question. Yeah. Big any satellites where things are pointing towards us?
There are several million X satellites. You have the debris belt.
Yeah.
Is it?
Because if you've got armed satellites, then you've got anti-satellite satellites. So I don't know if they survive.
Could we fly through it, or is it too?
Any movements or anything like that?
Debris.
You can just dodge between the debris. Is that what you're thinking? Because I'm not sure that's quite how it works.
Potentially.
If you go really quick.
Everyone breathes in.
The commander will say, all right, let's have Entdecker prepare at least for a flyby of the planet.
Okay.
Is there any sign radio of any activity from the satellites that, or from the debris belt that's still in orbit?
Nothing higher than noise. I mean, it could
don't want us to get blown up.
Nothing that could not be accounted for by tumbling debris that catches the light occasionally.
Any actual moons or anything?
No.
What happened to those aliens we rescued from the other planet?
There does need to be at least one moon, because there is mention later of tides. I just don't want to mention it. Yes, that is where tides come from, chaps.
You can get
tides. Invisible moon.
It could be tectonic activity.
No, tides, you get some tides from the sun, don't you? Because you
very, very limited.
I thought it was about a third
maybe
of the
debris belt is so large.
it's going to coalesce into its own. Mark, you've got every character name imaginable except the character you're actually playing.
Yeah, I've no idea who you actually are. I've forgotten, but I will end up calling you Penguin.
Writing you down as
Jaffa.
It's just incorrect. Yeah.
No. I am Jethro Kirkin.
There we go.
Jethro,
right. Have you considered actually putting that down as your name rather
than
Dick
about it.
Penguin?
Penguin Dick,
I think. Penguin.
Big Penguin Rampant.
Not since that restraining order, I'm not. okay, well, yeah, let's take a fly bit. We'll see if there's any signals from any nearby moons, like radio signals, I guess, is what we're looking for.
We can also try to analyse the pattern of debris and see if there is any possibility.
Well, any other planets that potentially also have nuclear things.
Could have been an
escape. On the grounds, it could have been an interplanetary war.
Could have been. How nearby are the other? How many other planets are in the?
There are three other planets in the inner system. They're all a bit hotter. There's no sun activity on any of those. The probe slipped by.
No indication of another planet that used to be there and has now gone a bit Alderaan.
This definitely isn't the solar system, right? You would tell us if it was the solar system.
It's a GM.
It's a G75 star. I mean.
That was our
immediate thought as well.
Do you remember that film with Roy Thinnes, the one about mirrors and why did you come back?
So what you do get as the probe is sitting in high orbit as you guys make transit across the system, and that it will pick up infrared plume and a radio signal. A familiar radio signal. It looks a lot like what
Caroline
was sending.
What? Who was sending? Sorry?
The rover.
Oh.
Kind of wasted a probe leaving that thing behind, haven't we? We may have solved the problem. Who's going to go back and tell the poor guy?
Several of the larger bits of orbital debris have markings that could at least be the same alphabet as what was on the rover.
Oh, we've suddenly got a lot more samples.
So we need to find out if there are any traces of civilization still active.
Would humans be able to survive on the planet as it is anywhere? Underground?
Overground.
Wobbly free.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere is a little hot, but basically breathable.
Okay. And was the level of nuclear exchange... Do we think survivable? I guess that's the same question, sorry.
If they had good enough bunkers, it's probably, it's hard to ever rule out. And we don't know what the, they might be little
men, little fellows.
What are the tiny
they're not ptarmigans, no.
Tardigrades.
Well, there might be space tardigrades. I mean, maybe they're fine with the nuclear.
I mean, space ptarmigans would be interesting. I don't know what colour they'd turn.
Do not disrespect the tardigrade empire. It may be small, but...
Can't get rid of the bloody thing. Well, they tried to invade Earth, but were unfortunately eaten by a small dog.
So what you will get...
Yeah, they're in the moss, aren't they? Little moss piglets.
As you transit in system, lots of craters, but there are very... What you're not seeing, and this is a thing that I think would be very familiar to you, having grown up on post-nuclear Holocaust Earth,
Cornwall.
No ruined cities, no ports, no airfields.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Is there vegetation down there?
Yep. And what you do get is a cluster of craters at the intersection of a transport network.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Is it? But they could have had a... I suppose there's no reason why a civilization has to have a... You would have thought that would be part of development, though, a centralised population centre. But, well,
all of the civilizations that we've encountered so far that we actually know a reasonable amount about have all got
cities or something like
that. If they haven't got even ports. I mean, that's not even
that's just a transport thing.
Facility.
Any wreckage or anything? So there are habitations, just not cities, or is that not even? It's not even anything.
There are some small ones, yeah. But you would think if that were humans, you would think this was a very sparsely populated planet.
Not even like launch pad. They must have fired that thing out from somewhere. Any sign of, or the ICBMs, presumably?
Assuming they were ICBMs and not. From off-world?
That's a good point. But we know they had some spacefaring capacity. They at least sent this probe. And it was it wasn't this system, was it? So they sent it...
I mean, what if they'd colonised another planet?
Well, that makes... Why would you send...
Then there'd been a bit of a falling out.
And indeed some fallout. You wouldn't, I'm just following human civilization or human history, you wouldn't send a probe to another solar system before you'd fully explored your own?
Well, I mean, Bayon is basically exploring the gas giants and stuff, so presumably if there are anything on there, any of there or the moons, it'll pick those up.
Can we pick up, you know, the signals from the rover, can we look specifically for anything like that in the rest of the solar system?
Yeah, that's a thing you could scan for. You probably would use the big receiver on Bayon for that. No, there doesn't seem to be anything else transmitting.
Beaming down recording from the rover. Just to fuck with them, you know.
All is discovered, you must flee.
Can we have a look at these marked chunks of debris? I'm wondering if it's possible, in fact, the rover might not have come here. It's always possible that the rover was sent here and to the other planet from somewhere else. And it's like that. Some of its delivery. For example, maybe the thing that was dropping off rovers got mangled by their satellite belt, for example.
But didn't we pick out the kind of the aesthetic?
But we don't know if that's what was on the surface or if that's just.
Well, I don't know, because can
there
we
was
see
a big rover dropping?
Can
off
we
ship,
see the surface well got... enough to basically get an idea whether there's a similar sort of aesthetic to the rover and the hex?
You haven't got any sign of writing on the surface.
So it was just on the orbiting things.
Well, you're
still,
all,
it
you're
seems
all
like
of them, or at least the probe is.
Still, it seems.
I
mean,
to agree with you. I'm just hypothesizing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad. But what in 100 years the rover didn't do anything, and here, yeah, okay. I suppose it's possible, but there was no signs of weapons or anything that could do that on the rover.
They may have blown themselves up, and basically, it got blown up. I'm hearing boom!
At first glance, it seems like they've sent this thing out probably while they were doing reasonably well.
Yeah.
You know, because you probably wouldn't send out just something that was exploratory like that on the off chance as the bombs were falling, you know. So it does look like, things have come to a head and then it's fall. But you could potentially have other explanations. What if they had been exploring the solar system, but they'd done it by basically going base camping, where you send something out and you have automated systems that then use what they find around them to build more automated systems to then send something onwards? And what if they get out of hand?
But they were roughly contemporaneous. But yeah, I suppose
in tend to line up.
I suppose that could happen in a few years if there was some artificial intelligence involved.
If you've got the capability to send self-replicating machines out, things that can adapt to the environment and use it to then create more things to make a base and a base camp, then you have something that could potentially destroy your civilization, even if it just throws rocks at it.
Or Numa machine.
But there was nothing about that row. But then we don't know what was in the hexagon. Maybe that was all instructions about how to self-replicate and, yeah. Okay.
Well, it could have been the next generation was the one that did that, you know. When
not the next generation again.
Ask them about Space Jesus. These are the acceptable answers.
Yeah, it could be sending back information going, you know, haven't found any deposits of iron, copper, whatever. Mm. Rather dusty. Bring a mop. I don't know. I mean, you know, it could then send back, which would
a space alter mop,
what gets sent after it.
Well, look, I think we need to get down to the, or send something down to the surface.
That seems like an incredibly stupid thing to do, actually, land.
Yeah,
I think
okay, let's not do that.
Let's examine this debris belt.
The atmosphere's reasonable. We don't even need vac suits.
We're dropping you from orbit, you know, Radish.
And this even a radish would be a mass destruction device.
Okay, the first thought looking at the debris belt is, oh boy, flying through this is going to be.
But it is a belt, so we could perhaps
undo
it. It's not like a Dyson
off.
Sphere, is it? It's
yeah, well, is it?
Well, there is.
It's going to have gaps, isn't it?
Mm. You basically have a very, very, very strong magnet as you're flying, and hope to God that it, you don't get anything bigger than
a serious proposal, which is basically a loft balls of shaving foam into orbit. So I'd just like you to remember that when the Bremen Reflect Orbit will go ahead.
Oh, what? How did we end up in this bloody future? Anyway.
So not executing enough billionaires.
What you are getting is there is a lot of debris.
Good point.
There are definitely better and worse times to try to get through it, even taking relatively safe routes. Indeed, right. You reckon there are that you've got two options coming up. In fact,
bless you.
And this is obviously something you could choose to do with a decker or something else, but I'll come back to that. Mm-hmm. You could, in about an hour, you've got a window that's about to start, but there is a single large piece of debris that you'll need to pass quite close by. It seems to be reasonably large and cohesive, but anyway.
Could it be deflected in any way?
Yes, by hitting our craft as we go through.
Well, the thing that...
That might not deflect it at all. It might just keep going.
The thing that it is that you don't really want to change is all in one piece. And anything that changes orbit would...
We want to get out of this all in one piece.
So, anyway.
Not necessarily one big flat piece.
So, that is one option, and using a powered descent. The other is to sit around a further 8 hours, which will mean you're landing in darkness. But the large piece of debris will be out at your deorbit window.
How about we send something down in the 1 hour window that isn't us, with a load of cameras and things on it, and then we can land in
the
8 hours.
Like.
Yeah.
So that if we look through the cameras and we see, you know, a big shaggy thing with a club marching towards us with an expression that doesn't say, oh, thank God you're here, then perhaps we decide to go off.
I've watched a lot of Atomic Age science fiction, and if there is a shaggy thing with a club, there will also be women folk in shiny suits who are desperate for people to breathe their race back into fecundity.
So we've got this high radiation service. What are you saying? I think quite good, actually. You know,
what in a shiny shiny boob suit?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, fair enough, mate.
I look after my nails.
Fair enough. Okay.
He's got lovely kneecaps.
Yeah, he's got, yeah, and I'm sure their kneecaps will be lovely. So the other thought is, from, Jethro's point of view, he wouldn't mind actually just spending just 24 hours, just basically just observing and seeing.
Well, we've only got 8 hours.
Well, no, he'd like to actually see anyway whether there are any light sources on the dark side.
Obviously you're not in a geosync orbit, so you can get that immediately. No, there are not.
No.
Okay.
Not 100% sure it's worth going down, guys. But do you...
What you have got is better information about the thermal plume and radio signal.
Uh-huh.
It is just off the west coast of the major landmass. So, in...
Off the coast?
In the ocean.
But there's something that probably used to be a seawall, flood defences, something like that, that we can define as the coastline. Used to be, because it's been broken. And it's about 100 metres offshore of that. It's definitely a freestanding structure.
Ah! I suddenly
They're
understand.
All on an oil rig. Brilliant.
It's basically death by kanji.
I have a horrible feeling it's going to be on the beach and we get there and there's going to be a window blind tapping a Morse code device. But that was a niche reference, unless you've seen it.
It's a submerged platform, two domes joined by a flat open area.
Like a hamburger?
No, more like you took both halves of a hamburger bun and put them about a foot apart.
Yeah, a flat open area would imply a deconstructed hamburger. Otherwise, it would be a flat closed area, wouldn't it? So imagine you've gone to one of those restaurants that doesn't
science.
Use plates.
Oh, yeah, okay. It comes out on something that should belong on a roof.
Yeah. So,
seagull.
The thing that comes out of that, you could probably technically put a lander down on it, but you have no idea how strong it is.
Let's do it. Felix, fortune favours the brave.
I'm thinking we should see, can we detect any signs of fields, of crops, of any agriculture? Can we detect anything in the shallows that looks like they're farming kelp or anything like that? Any
like
signs
it.
That stuff's been a bit organised?
What you've got on the land looks like basically the Netherlands after the bomb. So you've got the remains of ditches and levees and so on, but it's all been flooded. And it's all basically salty marsh now.
It's hot dikes everywhere.
Any sign of... I don't know how close we are. Can we see any kind of... I don't know. Any macro animal life would have died by now, presumably.
There's
vegetation. Oh, there is some animal life. Okay.
Are there any small triangle, red triangles anywhere? That might be a follow-up to John's joke.
Makes you think I'm making jokes.
This is no time to joke, Jethro. If that is your name, your name tag says something very different.
Your name tag is like... He's got a row of 40 medals on his chest and his name tag, yeah.
Obviously chest. The name tag has sharpened edges.
Well, my vote would be to send some probe down in the 1 hour and then go down ourselves in the 8 hour gap.
I agree.
If we need to go down, I mean, if there's no real signs of this.
This is what you said about the.
Why don't we.
The rover, what would we have missed out on if we hadn't gone down?
Exactly.
I think we're coming at this from different angles.
From so eloquently making my point there, what would we have missed out on if we hadn't gone down?
It is basically our job.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We got to explore.
It might be my job. I deal with people mainly. I'm a sort of intelligence agent.
There may be survivors down there, Mason.
And my job is mostly to keep Radish alive.
And you've done a sterling job so far. Look, there may be survivors down there.
On board.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no one likes Jack.
Not you, him. If he's keeping you alive, you know.
Oh,
he must be the most hated man on board.
I shall need to think about that. I mean, but this is literally why we're here. And aside from anything else, as we found with the moon on our way out, there may be survivors. What happened to those aliens, by the way? We left them there, didn't we?
We left them, they're fine.
Yeah. We do tend to abandon people, yeah.
Well, no, they're now part of the glorious humanity empire.
Vitruvian.
What do we do? Just throw down a pack of Etonic tea cakes and a flag? There you go, that's the benefits of joining up. Please put that somewhere where people can see it.
Don't eat them all at once.
Yeah, don't eat, yeah. Yeah. Oh, normally we wave the flag and eat the sort of tea cakes, but you do it the way you want to do it.
So,
yes.
I would like electronics remote operation, which is something that Jethro actually has skill in.
He does.
Right.
Who is Jethro?
And who is that Jethro boy? Int?
Dex.
Yeah, int or dex would be the same.
Get on with it, me lover.
Okay, so that's 10.
Okay.
So, okay, but.
No, that's
you have a lovely butt, Jethro.
It's because I have a strength, dex, and endurance of 9.
So, what?
You're in a walking meat market.
Strength is 10.
Oh, nice definition.
So, I get a good look at the... Yeah, this is clearly most of a spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Keep going, I'll be back in a minute.
Is this the two-domed thing?
No, this is the thing.
The thing
I'm doing the UE round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so... because the what you think might be the forward section isn't there. There are a lot of holes throughout this structure. Mm-hmm. So making some guesses, it might be 125 metres long, displacing 1,000 to 2,000 tonnes, maybe. It had spin habitats, solar panels, radiators, reaction control tanks, mass tanks, that sort of thing. It looks, it's very like the rover in this respect. It's a different technology base, but the physics is the same. Mm-hmm. However, there are markings on it which are completely different from the ones you have seen on the other debris up here and on the rover.
Oh.
Mm.
Two.
Does it okay. follow the same design aesthetic, though? So, in other words, is it kind of... Ah, okay. So, is it potentially built by different... Anything else of a similar ilk in the orbit?
Not what you've picked up. Could I have a tactics naval from you, Jethro?
Tactics naval will be
within
12.
Okay.
Sorry, John, I was just doing that.
So, what's happened to this ship is definitely kinetic, not energy weapons. You would say kinetic kill weapon or an orbit denial weapon, something of that sort.
Mm-hmm. I will point this out.
How big's this ship?
Really stupid question. The other thing I want to look at this ship is, does it look, from an aging point of view, in other words, if you look at the debris, structure and stuff, does it look newer than everything else, most of the stuff in orbit?
No, but it's really hard to tell.
Well, okay, there's a few possibilities. Either this ship seems to be from another civilization or another race. Either this triggered the whole thing or it came along afterwards and was destroyed
Just to give you a rough idea in terms of ship hierarchies, this is maybe one third to half the size of Bayan, a lot bigger than any of the other ships of the flotilla.
Could it have enough? Is it big enough to have enough firepower on it to devastate the planet in the way that we've seen?
Well, that would depend on the technology of the weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a limited number of nuclear warheads and kinetic impactors you can carry in a space.
So
you would expect this was not the only one.
It's possible.
The planet's done a good job shooting back, if that was the case. Look at that debris field there. That's kinetic kill. This has been deliberately taken out.
Okay, but did they do that in response?
I really do not want to basically fly anything with living people anywhere near this planet, please.
I agree.
Perhaps someone from this planet flew up to this ship and attempted to interface with it using a MacBook Air. And this is the devastating result. I can't fucking get my earphones to Bluetooth to a MacBook.
Long time.
It wasn't the kind of interfacing they were expecting.
Did they have to drag you from the cinema? Were you standing up there, pointing at the screen and yelling?
Well, how did he have a Wi-Fi signal up there? I don't understand.
Can I just say,
MacBook Airs and dropped them from orbit.
That film was...
You want something with more mass.
I watched 2 days before I got married because Bethan and I watched it sort of... when we went down to Puthcall, and we
to where? Sorry,
Puthcall.
Okay, all right.
Puthcall, because we watched it in Swansea, but or Abertawe, everything's
now sounding like a euphemism. But carry on.
And you would not believe how much we laughed. It was wonderful. It had been a long, hard drive down.
So you watched it and you realised the end of civilization was near, and you thought, "Well, we might as well get married then." Is that what happened?
No, we watched it and just giggled like loons because it was wonderful.
It's a funny and insightful film.
Watch it with switch your brain off, watch it and just laugh because it's not meant to be a comedy, but.
Attitude you took on your honeymoon? I mean, generally that's frowned on.
No.
Just switch your brain off and have a good laugh.
Well, it seemed to work for my wife.
30
years later.
50 years later?
30.
Oh, that's rubbish. Oh, sorry. I mean, that's quite good. Sorry,
we've only been married 30 years.
Unbelievable.
That's very committed.
I thought you were going to say something like adequate or very mediocre. Because you seem to be desperate not to say anything nice about this fact.
But no, Independence Day is fine. You just don't watch it with any weight.
It's rubbish and annoying and I hate it.
It's conflated in my head with Mars Attacks, so, you know, there's that.
Mars Attacks is...
No, that is rubbish.
Yes.
I mean, when you have to have a film that not only relies on a Deus Ex Machina, but one that they ripped off Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. So anyway.
Yes.
Are we sending down probes? Is this our usual?
You've sent down the probe. Got a relatively close look at the target site, so that will tell you what.
I think I may have missed what the target site was. Was this the offshore?
The hamburger. Now calling it, because of its lack of resemblance to any kind of burger.
Yeah, you see, I'm still thinking, imagining it as
a bagel. Oh, sorry.
The Eden Project.
Oh yeah, that would be better than a hamburger. Well, but it's flat.
So onshore,
it's flat in between.
The probe can spot the remains of pipes, drainage channels, that kind of thing. Maybe this was originally flood defences. The main thing you can learn there is that opening that is probably a door is significantly larger than a human door would be. Maybe 3.5 metres tall.
Reflect the size of the people who were here, or it might be for larger access machinery. So we need to find things that would be
that would be proportioned definitely to a person, you know, like a toilet. Not specifically a toilet, but, you know.
I can't think of anything else now.
Yeah, we must find a smoking shelter outside.
The space toilet.
Sorry, eh?
A smoking shelter outside, any bikes locked up?
Not visibly, I feel like
Nick.
Probably after the nuclear war, they removed most of the smoking restrictions.
It's possible that the nuclear war did it for them. Nick, I don't think we need to call everything like a space toilet because it's on a planet, so it's not a space toilet.
Who's the scientist here?
Is the question I've been asking the captain every single day. We must have one, but I've seen no sign.
My principle is very simple. I just ask myself, what would Terry Nation have done?
Honestly, at this stage, I would be asking myself, what would Terry Nutkins have done?
That's witty.
Well, thank you.
So, what are you actually going to take down in the second window for the night landing?
You could analysis machines.
Take Endeca down. You could take out Dan Orlander, one of the space players.
I think it's too risky to take Endeca down because we might not get it back up again.
Lander seems like the... people are going, it should be small.
We're not bringing what's-her-name down, Penelope. Yeah. What's she called?
Pitstop.
I'll get you.
She'll come and rescue you later. Like in that dream you keep recounting in our counselling sessions.
So do you want to fly yourselves down? Okay,
it's funny Mark mentions wacky races because it's very similar.
The other question I would have is, this thing is 100 metres offshore. Are you planning to swim there? Are you planning to...
Felix is hot. You said we could land there, didn't you?
Are you planning to land there? You could do that, potentially.
Felix knows what he's doing, yes.
But you're not 100% sure that he can support the weight?
Probably want to try and do a flyover. Circle round.
Okay.
Get a better sense of it.
I'm not swimming through radioactive seawater.
Should we take a boat with us in case it's necessary?
You don't have boats, but you do have hovercraft, as with the one you took to...
Yes.
You want to take a dinghy, Frank? I took care of the airport. Thank you. I have watched a little bit of the new Naked Gun, and it is non-terrible. There's a moment where...
less than a minute we managed, or more than a minute?
There's a moment where he's looking at a crashed car, and he's like, he must have veered off the road in some kind of state. And his friend says, "Drunk, Frank?" And he says, "Yeah, a little, but just enough to keep me awake." Well, I thought that was a very Naked Gun joke, so I like that. Anyway, continue. It's not awful, the bit that I've watched.
That's reassuring. I'm inclined to say we might want to try.
Sorry, this isn't Ribbon of Memes.
We might want to try and land and then take the hovercraft out to this thing. Does it look like there is a reasonable surface that we could land on?
Yes, basically, the further you go inland, the less flooded it is. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, that seems good.
Okay, in that case, I would like 8-plus appropriate pilot small craft.
Pilot small craft. That's a 9.
Okay, that will get the job done. Lander comes down, no problem. It's cold, it's raining... The rain varies from light drizzle to heavy downpour and back again.
Mm.
Radioactive rain.
Environment suit and cagoule, then.
Mm. Umbrella? What's the wind like?
Blustery.
No umbrellas. Oh, we're in Yorkshire. Space Yorkshire.
It's the sort of weather that usually seems spot, when I'm standing at a bus stop.
Right. Yeah.
It's been one of them nuclear wars, yeah.
Yeah.
I take it we're equipped with the sort of standard load for exploring a dungeon, torches.
Temple pole.
Mm-hmm.
Space pole.
Weekend in Vegas and all that stuff.
Geiger counters might be an idea, because we don't know if there are going to be areas that are very hot.
I am with quite a lot of drones, most of which have got quite a good sensor suite.
It sounds a bit like you're saying you're pregnant. I am with drones.
How are they going to do with the rain?
The drones.
If they're not waterproof.
That you probably do want to climb up on the outside of the helicopters and let them make their own way, though.
Oh, yeah, no.
Let's not use the papier-mâché drones.
Yeah. I just don't know how sturdy these things are. I've seen some very, very flimsy drones.
These are designed
space drones.
Well, I mean, they can...
These are ruggedized, as they say.
They can work in a vacuum, but that involves them walking everywhere because they're designed to hover with a dirty grip.
That's what happened when we landed on the last planet. Your drones had to blub along like a...
They did try to make them soldier-proof, but they gave up when it came to the Marines.
Yeah. Okay,
Frisbee them really, really far.
So let's get out of this lander. Let's take as many samples.
If they ever become sentient, they're going to go straight for you, aren't they?
Atmosphere samples.
They're just soil samples.
Yeah. You've got mud.
Mud.
You've got stuff in the mud that is rotting. You've got vegetation, some sort of kind of a date palm sort of thing with thin yellowish leaves.
We're going to have to quarantine on the way back, aren't we?
And are we talking about a safely breathable, perfectly okay kind of atmosphere here, or is it just breathable?
What is your security clearance, French citizen?
Well, mine's going to be quite high, I think.
If this all turns
out to be a, you know, Chimes of Big Ben thing where we've been on Earth the whole time, I'm going to be very upset.
Your evaluation for the readings you've got is it's not going to instantly choke you or anything like that, but you probably wouldn't want to.
I'll keep the suit on.
Yeah,
we're
going to
radish.
If your choice between not breathing at all and dying or breathing this stuff, it's probably better to take a gulp. Yeah,
I'm quite keen on wearing my full combat armor
suit.
I think we agree. We've not regretted it so far.
Yeah, you ought to be a bit careful where you tread on the mud. But
Yeah, we are keeping at least several meters away from the man in the enormous metal suit.
But
enormous metal suit with the great big vector thrusters.
Don't you have like a huge, you know, inflatable ring with a giraffe's head or something on it that you can sort of make your own way over there?
We can strap you to a line and just tow you behind.
The tank that was built on that basis.
I've seen the tank that was built on that basis.
Okay, so
it was a lovely idea, until they thought of something happened that they hadn't really thought of.
Yeah, so. Yep, so you can get the hovercraft deployed. Do any of you drive hovercraft, by the way?
It's funny you should say that.
Small craft has got the word craft in it.
No. In that case, I've got pilot other, however.
No, it's definitely drive, so...
Drive. I've got drive wheel.
Me too.
So I'm presuming it's got a steering wheel. And I've got drive other.
You're probably the best bet then.
Yeah, it's you.
Great, we're
probably the best bet, isn't it?
Well, it's
sorry, everybody. Decks, so.
What's your dex, Mason?
None of your business. Let's find out together. That's a roll of 7 and my dex, which is 9.
Hey.
Okay.
What? You've got plus 9 dex.
No, that's the total.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so, you make your way past a number of, what your experience says is, you know, concrete blockhouse. Not designed for aesthetics, unless they had very basic aesthetics.
Brutalist.
Mostly flooded. You get to the sea wall. And, looking at it close up, it's not a nearby strike that has breached this. It has gone unmaintained for however long, and eventually it's just crumbled away from the waves.
Okay.
No problem getting over that. The sea is choppy near the shore. Obviously, you've got a bit more waves. Getting up to about a metre of swell on the open water.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this is the point at which they have this lovely half-page illustration of the platform, which is completely inconsistent with the actual platform as described.
Well, their blueprints have been affected by the nuclear war.
Mm. Yeah. We should look at it after we've done this part so we don't get confused.
Yeah.
Or not at all.
So let me instead pull up this map over here.
Excuse me, it's a private meeting, right, Mr. Server. There, what did I tell you? It's a hamburger.
So, the
doesn't
two...
anyway.
So, the two things at left and right ends are domes, which are slightly higher. In between, you've got a basically flat surface. Top, that dark grey bit at the very top, is another building above the platform level. And the larger dark grey bit at about sort of 10, 11 o'clock appears to be a ramp or a dock of some sort.
What, like a jetty or a space dock?
A jetty that is gradually descending into the water. And then
And do we think, Felix, do you think you could plop this crate down on the central concourse?
I couldn't, but Mason probably could.
Doing pilot speak.
Yeah, this is the hovercraft.
Well, by referring to the wrong person.
Jump capacity.
Mm.
You can see, looking down here, that there are basically three support structures that it's resting on. These are mostly below water, but you can see when the waves retreat slightly. Basically, one under each of the domes and one under the bit at the top.
And are they obviously on the verge of collapse or not?
Those are the three things that are descending into the water rather than more or less at water level.
Right, so shall we try and get up that ramp then?
Seems sensible.
Okay, let's try it. How wide is it compared to our...
Quite a lot wider. It's about 10 metres wide, maybe.
Okay.
Okay, well, I've rolled a 9 this time, and I've got a plus 2, so 11.
Okay, no problem. You get up onto the platform. It's basically open, except where those buildings are. Not clear what those circular things are. They're not sticking up or being obvious.
Pylons or something, maybe?
Maybe. The upper surface is slick. It's covered with patches of standing water. There's a lot of algae here.
Right.
Mm.
Doctor, can you just...
Any markings?
Stay sat down just for a minute.
I'm strapped in, so I have no choice.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I thought it was for your own safety, and I didn't enjoy doing that at all.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realise we'd actually tied him into the seat.
I don't understand why no one else is strapped in.
Nobody's actually told him how the buckles work.
Buckles? I use duct tape.
Far simpler. Any sign of any entry points on either of the... Well, on any of the three buildings, actually.
But the short version is going to be yes. Okay, so the two domes, they have doors. Well, they don't have doors at this level, but particularly with the drones, you can see over the top. Basically, the it looks as if the access is at the top, and presumably the domes are meant to retract in some way.
Okay.
Mm. The other building does have doors that look like actual doors. So again, they're about 3.5 meters high.
Mm.
Going to suggest that we maybe go to the actual building rather than the dome, and then maybe see if we can actually. I'm hoping that. Do we think there's connections in the actual underneath the sort of infrastructure that we're sort of stood on now?
How do you mean?
As in, like, tunnels, or...?
Yes, as in between the two domes and
the... Well, the platform is a couple of metres thick.
Yeah. Probably it's not like it's in the water and going down and we can't really see. Okay.
It's a platform, isn't it?
Yeah.
So is the third building, is that the small square thing, like a...
Yes.
12 o'clock?
Yeah, okay. The larger dark grey is the ramp.
Yeah, thought so. Yeah.
Well, let's have a look at the building first, and then I'll see if I can instigate an opening in the domes.
Okay, so
does that involve explosives?
It might do.
Well, okay. I don't know why a chill runs up my spine when you say instigate an opening.
First thing you come to inside is a pair of circular rooms. They're open to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Basically, you got about a quarter of the circle is the opening that's facing you.
Mm.
In each case, you can see both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm looking for is any form of artwork or anything that we can get an idea of what
There is lettering.
All right, Grand Admiral Thrawn. It's more to species than artwork.
There are also diagrams. Anybody who wants to make an int check could...
Int is not my strong point, but I'll
let's have a go. 10? 6 for me, I'm afraid.
7 for me.
Okay, Mason gets to it first. It looks as
that doesn't mean you're clever, is?
Yes, it does.
It looks as though these chambers are airlocks. You go in, they do it, they partly rotate, they pressurise, they finish rotating. There's no sign of power up here. These are just signs on the walls.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So possibly there was an access point from them into something undersea.
There is a small window on the far side of each circular room which appears to give just onto a wall.
Can we tell if there's any structure underneath this platform? Is there a way of doing that?
Well, as you approach, you could see that there were one of the three support pillars of this thing was descending directly from this building.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, would the other two be from the...
domes.
Circular bits.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah, okay, so
from
it actually
the brioche buns, if you will.
Yes.
I'm sorry about brioche, John.
But I think that's probably a reasonably good place to break.
What depth of water, just quickly before I forget, what depth of water would shield you from this kind of radiation? Not that much. A couple of feet.
Well, that would depend. I mean, after a while the water becomes radioactive, so that gets a bit more complicated.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll worry about that next week.
Depends what sort of radiation. Alpha and beta get blocked really, really quickly.
Don't eat them. That's nasty.
Gamma, on the other hand, goes straight through it.
Yeah, but it usually goes straight through you as well, so it's not...
Oh, yeah, it has no side effects at all. Gamma,
oh, does it's it? Not. I mean, Bruce just, Banner just is that. Not a great Dr. example of how gamma radiation works.
I'm still very fond of the what-if that talked about how much neutrino irradiation would it need to do actual damage to a human. And, well, if the nuclear bomb were right up against your eyeball...
Neutrinos are really good at not interacting with anything. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm much the same.
Thank you very much.
We'll explore further. If we're coming up against, like, Silurians after all this, it's going to be a very strange sort of adventure. Thank Roger, you all. Have a very good night.
Roger, any ideas roughly how long you want to run this for? Because I'm just thinking...
Let's talk about it offline.
Yeah, cool.
Because I am not here next Tuesday. Okay, I should point that out.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Bye.